Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Exodus chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. You can read along on page 50 in the Old Testament of your pew Bible. After a long time, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned under their slavery and cried out. Out of the slavery, their cry for help rose up to God. God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God looked upon the Israelites, and God took notice of them.
In 1738, during a Bible study, John Wesley had a personal experience where he felt his heart was strangely warmed. It is part of the tradition of the people called Methodist that when we sense God's leading, God's challenge, or God's support, or God's comfort, we say that is the Holy Spirit at work. When the Holy Spirit is at work, our hearts are often strangely warmed. I remember distinctly that first experience at a chapel in Heidelberg, Germany in 1991. I remember distinctly my heart was strangely warmed the first time I heard and saw the pastor at St. Matthew declare there was a peace of God in her that was in no one else, and that in her birth, he believed that God was stepped out on the edge of heaven and looked out over the creation and said, it was and still is very good. Was your heart strangely warmed today during that baptism? For those who were here when we had our joint musical presentation with Crescent Ridge Steak some 22 months ago, and 400 voices as one sang, oh, come all ye faithful. Was your heart strangely warmed? Mine was. That's the Holy Spirit at work there in you. Maybe the warmth that comes on television as we watch television in the midst of an Ebola crisis in Liberia, and the talking head on the screen doesn't mention what is symbolized on that church standing behind him or her. But you and I, we look at that church and we see the flame and cross there, and we the road. I don't know about you, but my heart is strangely warmed when I see that. That's the action of the Holy Spirit there. Maybe your heart is strangely warmed when a Hilltop parishioner talks about meeting a homeless person down in the Rio Grande section of Salt Lake and talks to that person. Somehow the words Hilltop comes into the conversation. And he says, I know Hilltop. I know Hilltop through the rescue mission of Salt Lake. You guys come down there once a month and you sing to us and you preach to us and you serve us and you talk to us about God's grace. What a wonderful experience it is for us. That's the Holy Spirit in action. I was asked in Colorado Springs before I left to come to Utah and Hilltop, why did I want to go to Utah? What was this all about? And I said, I believe we can make a difference there. And what I found out was that life was making a difference in people's lives long before I got here. And we are still doing that. We are making differences here in Sandy, in Salt Lake, and in Utah, and across the planet. The Holy Spirit is a mission of transformation, a message of change. That's our very why. We exist for the very purpose of helping bring about change. Ourselves, our neighborhood, our world. And that requires hearts that are strangely warmed to do that. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Part of how we do that transformation is by inviting fellow strangers in a strange land to first belong to this place of sanctuary. You don't have to believe to come here. We want you to belong first. Our transformative task at Hilltop is helping all of God's children find the meeting place of their individual passions with the world's greatest needs. Let me say that again. Our transformative task at Hilltop is helping all of God's children find the meeting place of their individual passions with the world's greatest needs. I believe that first and foremostly, transformation of the world lead us to experience the sacred and holy. Transformation of the world begins with the transformation of the individual. Let me say that again. Transformation of the world begins with the transformation of the individual. Through October, we're going to come in and talk to you about what's going on with our stewardship campaign. For those of you that need your head fed, and I'm one of those people, I like to have my head fed, we're going to have numbers that are going to be in the newsletter. They'll be there for you to help you understand that. There'll be numbers inside of the handout that we have each week for that to help you understand what's going on and what it is that we want to do. But our ministry moments like this over the next 5 weeks are going to focus on heart talk. We're going to talk about hearts and how those hearts are changed. The fundamental question I ask is the one that, and one that I pray warms your heart, strangely or maybe not so strangely, it's free and unconditional grace. Let me ask that, say that again. Does the world need more or less of the message of God's unconditional love and grace? I know the answer. I know many of you do as well. I pray that your heart is warmed right now. God bless you. Thank you for your time. The reading we've got today picks back up right where Leanne left off. And the phrase in Hebrew that Leanne ended with was that God heard, and it was almost an immediate response. It's almost like half a second, nanosecond later, we get this encounter here with Moses. Now, Moses is one of the primal characters in the Old Testament. He's the lawgiver. He's the one that liberates the children of Israel from Egypt, which we'll discuss some of that in a second or two. But he is now out in the tree. Now, how many of you have never bush experience in Exodus 3? Now, how many of you have never seen Charlton Heston in the Ten Commandments? Okay. Susan, we'll have to fix that. I don't know about you, but my image, even in those days, was that God spoke like what I hear Tim Strickland speaking, okay, as opposed to whoever that was, John Huston, I think, is who it was in there. Sometimes I get the idea that God can have a real rough, gravelly voice, as opposed to this nice, gentle, soft voice that goes on there. As I read here, I will stop and make a remark here or there as I go through. Exodus 3, chapter 3, verses 1 to 15, page 50 of your pew Bibles. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness, and he came to Horeb. Horeb is another name for Sinai, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame consumed. Then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that Moses had turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush. Now this sequence here it's already happened once in the Old Testament with Abraham. It will happen over and over again where God will call the person's name twice, and then they'll respond, here I am. Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Then God said, come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. God said further, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. Then his recounting here will match the verbs that you heard earlier in the second. I know their suffering, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? God said, I will be with you, And this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. But Moses said to God, if I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. God also said to Moses, thus you shall say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my title for all generations. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Moses is one of the foundational characters in the Old Testament. I think many of us are familiar with the Sunday school story where the king decides to kill all the boy children of the Israelites, and his mother places him in the river, and he is picked up by one of the Pharaoh's daughters, a princess of Egypt, and he lives with them for a while and understands the ways of the Egyptians. Eventually, he gets into a situation where he sees an overseer oppressing an Israelite, and he kills that overseer. And as a result of that, he flees out into the wilderness. And while he's in the wilderness, he encounters his future wife and her sisters, and they think he looks like an Egyptian. So this is a man that can, to the Israelites, he looks like an Israelite to them, and to non-Israelites, he looks like an Egyptian, someone who finds himself out in the desert. The passage that Leanne read there starts off with this idea, it has this idea of groaning. The king has died. And it's almost like the king having died, the children of Israel now have permission to bring their grievance to the table, bring that grievance to the table and say that we want to break with the definition of reality that's been defined for us by the king. It's a false king, and we're going to express our grief and our pain over what's going on. But you notice that the grief that was expressed there in passage Leanne read wasn't necessarily to God. It wasn't necessarily this thing about God or any of that. It was just a generalized complaint, a generalized groaning. It was almost like they had to express their frustration with the current situation. Grief does indeed mobilize them. And the good news is that this voiced grief does indeed mobilize disadvantage, mobilizes God to action. Now, you guys have got a disadvantage today, because normally, whenever I tell a joke, Mary Jean Davison is sitting over here, and she starts laughing first, and it gives you permission to laugh, all right? Well, Mary Jean is in Indonesia today, so she can't hear my joke. So I'm gonna tell you in advance that I'm going to try and tell some jokes, although the 9 o'clock population, I had to basically say, that's supposed to be funny. And they somehow then said, oh, we have permission to laugh. So if my joke is funny, you have permission to laugh. I've got a friend in Colorado, he's a United Methodist, and he had a similar situation as me. And something went wrong with his body, and he had to be out of commission for a couple of weeks. So the good news is the United Methodist women at his particular church took a vote and decided to send him a get well. That same guy, that same friend of mine over in Colorado, he's got a lady at the church who just loves his sermons. She comes up every Sunday morning after the sermon is over and just talks about how much she loved that particular sermon and just goes on and on and on. He has trouble getting anybody else out of the sanctuary if she's the first one there. Just talks about how much she loves the sermon. That's the good news. The bad news is that her favorite movie she watches, and almost the only movie she ever watches, is Friday the 13th. I just gave a stewardship conversation a few minutes ago. The good news is that there is enough money in this church for us to do everything that the lay people vision for this church to be able to do. That's the good news. The bad news is it's still in your checking account. The good news of this particular passage that we have here is that God provides. It comes back to the idea from last week. God provides. The bad news, him. He's the one that God says, hey, we're going to solve this, and you're going to be my instrument here in the wilderness, here in Egypt, and I want you to do it. And Moses, we just heard two of the objections that we read through there. Moses doesn't object once. He doesn't object twice. He objects to God with God five times. Five times he says to God, you got the wrong guy. I can't do this. I cannot do this. God has said, you're the man. And Moses five times tries to say, got the wrong guy. And what are the questions? We read two of them. One of them was, who am I? Who am I to do this? Who am I to do this? Now, that's pretty disingenuous on Moses' part. According to the tradition of the Jews, that Moses lived 40 years in Egypt. He lived 40 years in the wilderness. And what's the task? What's the homework assignment? Go back to Egypt, talk to the Pharaoh. He was raised in the imperial house. Go back to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel where? Out into the wilderness. Where has he lived for the last 40 years? In the wilderness. So his first reaction is, who am I to go do this? And the answer is, you're very qualified to do this. But God's answer is, I'll be with you. I will be with you. The God of your ancestors will be with you. And so then Moses asked what seems to our ears a little bit of a disingenuous question, which in his world, knowing somebody's name or something's name was actually very, very important. This was not as trivial as it may sound to our ears. But Moses then says, well, what's your name? What's your name? And he then reinforces this idea about the idea of it being the God of the ancestors. But my name is I will be what I will be. It's sort of this little play off of the verb to be, off the verb to be. And you could also translate it, I will be what I am. It's another way you could translate that. It's a little hard for us to translate. So I didn't read the next three, but Moses then will say, and they're going to reject me. And Yahweh says, what happens if they reject me? They're going to reject me. I'm going to go do this, and they're going to reject me. And Yahweh says, I'll work wonders. Don't worry about it. I will work wonders there. And then Moses says, I don't speak well. I'm not a good public speaker. Now, at this point, you almost wish you were listening to an audio recording as opposed to reading the words, because my guess is, and some commentators' guess is that you can start to hear the annoyance in God's voice. God's a little frustrated and a little irritated at this point. I'm sort of like talking to somebody that just has got your goat a little bit. And he's saying, so the first answer that he gives to the speech thing, is it not I, Yahweh, who'll be with you? Is it not I? I told you I'd be with you, so everything will be all right. But Moses doesn't take that one real well. He says, I'm just a bad speaker. You got the wrong guy. You've really got the wrong guy. And now the Bible actually says in the NIV, anger burned, and telling us the story is, God is a little bit annoyed at this. It's almost like he's saying to Moses, go get some asbestos britches because I'm going to fire you up. What do you think? Come on, you can laugh. It's all right. I'm going to fire you up because I will give you an Aaron to go do this, but get on your task. Get about it. So the bad news is that God listened and God decided to provide. The bad news for Moses is that God provided him. I've got some good news and bad news for you here at Hilltop. The good news is God's going to provide. God's going to provide. I think you know where the bad news is. God provided you. You have been provided by God. You're the instrument that how God is going to provide change for the world. And so some of you may sit there and say, who am I? Who am I? Who am I? Who am I to do? Who am I to do this? I'm just a person here at Little Hilltop. Hilltop's got a great story. Hilltop, Midvale, United Methodist Church, about 80 people in attendance on any one Sunday, who said, we're not doing all the things we can do in this world, and we're going to set off into a wilderness. We're going to go off into a wilderness, and we're going to go south of here, and we're going to figure out where we're going to be, how it's all going to work out. And they landed here some 4 years later, where they had their first service 4 years later, and they landed here, and this is where they ended up. They said, we can do this. We can set out and we can be a change agent. We can make a difference in Sandy. And they have. in the 1990s, this church was the Cathedral of Methodism in Utah, 500 in attendance on a regular basis. The budget in the mid-1990s was what it is today. Can you imagine that? The budget in the mid-1990s, what it is today, with 20-something years of inflation having gone by. I find that amazing. So our question also may come back, what do we call ourselves? United Methodist, our name. And I would say that you go to the idea of we're United Methodist. We're United Methodist. I went to some of the walls that the United Methodist Church does, and on the Sunday the bishop's here, I'm going to talk some more about the things that we do beyond the walls of the church. But we have a strong tradition of the church being change agents in the world. We're United Methodist. We don't get ourselves stuck inside the church. We leave the building and we go out and we help change the world outside of that. What do we do if people reject us? Hey, okay, they reject us. God will work wonders in spite of all of that. God will be there with us. He's done it before, and he will do it again. Then you might come up and say, well, you know, I'm not a good speaker. And God can come back to us and say, maybe you don't have to speak. I'll be with you. Is it not I, Yahweh, who'll be with you? The Holy Spirit, come, Holy Spirit, come, set our hearts on fire. Maybe we could have Jesus with us. We could display Jesus to people. Maybe that's the option we could do too. And we're going to probably come back and say to the call, you know, I'm not a good. Say, okay, maybe you don't have to speak, but I'll give you Susan Dunlap. I'll give you Grace Acosta. I'll give you Mario. A lot of people. I'll give you Roberta Sheminsky. I'll give you Barry Welliver. And there's a lot of people here who can help do that speaking stuff, and you can go do other things like lining up decimal points and lining up commas and help calling parents to help go do things because your heart's on fire for that. Now, some of this, I want to emphasize, I'm not going to be like God. I do the best I can because I have had to wear asbestos bridges around God before. I have been fired up by God where I come in and say, I don't want to do this, and God says, Dennis, go into your wardrobe there, put on your asbestos britches, because I'm going to bring fire to you, and we're gonna get you moving here. But I won't do that here at Hilltop. I promise I won't do that. I'll let God do that to you. What do you think? I'll let God do that. Here's the question, I think, for us. If the good news is that God provides, the bad news is really not. You're so qualified to do so much of the things. God is not asking you to go, for those of you that hate two-year-olds, to go to the nursery. Okay? God's not asking you to do that. God's not asking for those of you that cannot add 2 plus 2. God's not asking you to be an accountant here at the church. All right? God's not asking you to do that. If you can't carry a tune in a bucket, God's not asking you to sing bass in the choir. All right? But there, Charlie wipes his brow. Okay, but there is things you can do, and there are things that God is asking you to do. What are they? Now, I don't know what your burning bush experience is. I don't know. And I don't know, maybe it's last week where you God invites you out for a demonstration, and the demonstration is first there's this wind, and then there's this earthquake, and then there's this fire. But God speaks to Elijah in a small, still voice. Maybe that's how you're going to get spoken to. I don't know. I don't know precisely how you're going to get spoken to, but my invitation is to slow down, stop enough before God turns around and says, what is the task that is on your heart for me? What is God saying to you that what you might do? And what are your objections? How is your heart maybe strangely warmed? How is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? You can sit there and say, come, Holy Spirit, come, but don't come too quickly. That sometimes happens as well. I want you to do me a favor now. We're going to do a little tapping here on the shoulder. So get a little bit of space from somebody here in the church. Again, you can do this. And I want you to tap them on the shoulder and say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Come on, you can do better than that. Tap on the shoulder and say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
We are not overexpensed.
We are not overexpensed.
We are under-incomed.
We are under-incomed.
Okay? Neighbor.
Neighbor. Tap.
We are not over-called.
We are under answered.
Tap somebody on the shoulders. Tap neighbor.
Neighbor.
We are not over obligated.
We are under spiritual.
Now, I don't know where you are in all of that, but in the black church, they would say, let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. And then they would say, God has spoken. Let the church say amen. This isn't Dennis Shaw's sermon. This is God's sermon. God has spoken to us through the scripture. And I can say that we're just like Moses. We want to argue with God. My invitation to you, and by the way, we're sitting here 3,500 years later talking about Moses and what a change agent he was. He got around to it. He did a good job with this. He did a real good job with this. So the good news is that God provides. The better news is that God has provided you to answer God's call. What is it that God has placed on your heart? What is your burning bush? Where is that sound of silence that's speaking to you? Please stand. About call number 2186.
Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.